you know.
Blog
so you can watch
radio.
The fight and participate. You know, I don't get it. All right, you ready to go?
Yeah.
All right.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
Welcome to a special Tuesday edition of Ringside Reporter, and today we're going to talk about Canelo Alvarez and his next fight, and Beeb and I will also be breaking down the very precious. This has got to be, Beeb, I don't know, we've been around for a long time, we watched boxing for a long time. When you talk about prestigious belts, you think of two. You think of the heavyweight championship of the world, correct?
Correct.
And the WBC Pearl Belt. That's right, the WBC Pearl Belt. Yeah, that's a thing. We'll tell you about it. But let's get started here, man. Let's jump right into it. Just when you thought the Canelo situation couldn't get any more complicated, Beeb, it gets more complicated.
It sure as hell does, doesn't it?
The Zone, putting the screws to him here. As you know, Canelo's next opponent has been the subject of a lot of controversy as of late. The reason being is that Triple G, everybody just assumed that Triple G was going to be next for him. I think that was a kind of a no-brainer. DAZN brought him on $100 million. So it just, and Canelo's getting paid $365 million or whatever he's getting paid. It just seemed to me like a no-brainer that fight was next. I didn't really want to see the fight next, but it just seemed like a no-brainer.
Makes sense.
But the problem is that Canelo doesn't seem to want that fight. He doesn't want it at all. And the rumor is he absolutely hates Triple G. He hates all the rhetoric that was being talked about him on steroids and the clenbuterol thing and everything, like he was a cheater. And he just doesn't want to give him a payday. I think that is the long and short of it. He just does not want to give him a payday. I don't think it has anything to do with him being a less worthy opponent or anything like that. He just does not want to give him a payday. You know, so Canelo doesn't want that fight, and the Canelo camp has given about five other names of people they'd rather fight. So let's move to the IBF, which Canelo holds that belt. Today, the IBF has scheduled a purse bid for July 23rd. They're ordering Canelo to face Sergey Derevchenko. All right? So that puts another wrench in the situation. All right? If Canelo refuses the purse bid, he's going to be stripped of that title. The IBF would then sanction Derevchenko versus Triple G, pending Triple G doesn't end up fighting Canelo. To make matters worse for Golden Boy and Canelo, the Zone has stated there are basically three acceptable opponents for the September fight: Sergey Kovalev, Triple G, and a third choice would be Demetrius Andrade. But the thing with Andrade is, if basically they'll take that fight, if the Kovalev fight or the Triple G fight cannot get made, then they'll take that fight, which is no cakewalk. My feeling, I have a feeling, that if they do take Andrade, the IBF would actually fall in line to create a unified champ. That's just my feeling. Now, whether that happens or not, or maybe I'm just dreaming, I don't know. So Sergey Kovalev, and Triple G are basically the two acceptable opponents that DAZN. DAZN has just now come out and said, hey, this is who you're fighting. Not Jaime Munguia, not Callum Smith, not Liam Smith, not Joe Blow. These are the two guys we'll accept. Now, Tommy Boxeo, you know, this is interesting. Tommy Boxeo, frequent listener to the show, posted on Twitter today, what's to stop Canelo? And it's actually not a bad question. He said, what's to stop Canelo from just saying, basically, screw it. I'm walking away, and I'm going to fight whoever I want, whenever I want. Okay. It's called breach of contract. It's going to get sued. Now, I don't, number one, I don't believe he can do that. You know, that's number one. I don't believe he can do that. But let's just say, for example, he did. Let's just say, for example, he could. If that's the case, then he loses $365 million. If that's the case, then, you know, just in a perfect world, say he does breach the contract and just gets off scot-free, which, number one, would never happen because the Zone pays him a lot of money. And they pay him a lot of money to fight bigger fights, bigger names. And they brought this guy in for $100 million, Triple G, so that they could fight. Kovalev is another one. They said that, you know, because that's a very intriguing fight. He's going up. Kovalev's got a big name. You know, he's moving up two divisions to fight him. That's not a gimme fight. That's a tough, tough fight, no matter which way you dice it. So that's, I mean, there's, so he doesn't really have a lot of wiggle room here, I don't believe. My question on this whole thing, there's been no venue or anything like that. My guess, you know, he wants it out in Vegas, obviously. Now, Triple G said, I'm not fighting in Vegas. I'm not going to do it. Take it to New York, take it somewhere else, but I am not fighting in Vegas. Said, I don't get a fair shake in Vegas. And I think, honestly, I think he's right. I know that first fight didn't go his way, should have gone his way. Second fight probably went the right way. But in that sense, and they don't want to come out of Vegas, that only leaves Kovalev, who you lowballed, and he's got a fight with Anthony Yard, looking him in the face. So they've got to get together, like, now, and figure this out. You know what I mean? If neither one of those works, then you're going to look at Andre. And, you know, listen, man, that could be potentially a very, very big fight because you have the unification there. Because I believe that if they do take Andre, that IBF title is not going to be there, or that IBF title will be there because they will crown an undisputed middleweight champion. That's a big fight, too. All three of these are big fights. I'd much rather see Kovalev versus, you know, I don't really want to see Triple G, but it is what it is. Andre the close second, and then Kovalev, for me, a distant third. Beeb, what's your take on all this? What's your take of DAZN actually putting their foot down and saying, look, this is what we want on the network. This is, we paid you $365 million. You're the highest paid athlete, period. You know, NFLers, look, NFL teams, they don't get to choose. Almost in any sport, you don't get to choose your opponent. All right? You know, we'll let you choose your opponent within reason. You know, you're not going to fight the number 15 contender. And not that Munguia is, don't get me wrong, but you understand what I'm saying. We want quality fights on this channel. And listen, I like what they're doing. I like what they're doing. They're not being dictated to. And again, when you're shelling out 360-some million, that's a lot of money. You should be able to dictate some terms here. That's what I'm saying. Beeb, how do you feel about this whole thing?
Well, this is what people don't understand. These networks, when they sit down, they do deals with fighters. They don't go in with their nose open. Okay, they protect themselves.
Sure.
And I'm sure when they sat down and they worked this deal out, there had to be a list of opponents presented to them, and they had to approve one out of the group in the list. So, everyone thinks the same thing with like Eddie Hearn. They think that Eddie Hearn can do whatever he wants. He can control things and whatever he wants to do. He can put the fight on the moon if he wants to, whatever. But he's got a partner. When you have a partner, that means you have an obligation to work with that partner. A partner means a partnership, and when you have a partner means that you make group decisions. You know, you just can't – one person just can't dictate to that person. And sure as hell, the person that doesn't have the money, who's not putting the money up, is definitely not calling the fucking shots. So everyone's sitting there saying, oh – well, Canelo can fight wherever he wants. Super G can fight wherever he wants. Eddie Hearn can do it. Again, you guys living in a fucking fantasy world if you think the Zone went into this with their nose wide open. Okay? You think the terms of the contract aren't going to change if Canelo loses? I remember having that conversation with Bob Arum when I last time I talked to him on the phone. We had the interview, the situation with Alito Alvarez. I asked him, I said, you know, is he still on the contract? He goes, yeah. He goes, but the terms have changed. The money has changed because he lost. And he goes, isn't that fair? Isn't that how it's supposed to be? So again, this is common knowledge. It's common practice in the sport of boxing that the fighter has a contract with the broadcaster. Fighter has a contract with a promoter. Promoters have deals with networks. But we've seen time and time again when fighters would want to fight, like Andre Ward, case in point. How many times did he come up with opponents and HBO turned them down and he couldn't fight the opponents he wanted to fight?
Oh yeah. That happened all the time. Especially with HBO, you always heard that.
So all these fucking knuckleheads out here saying, you know, talking about like how Eddie Hearn and how Oscar De La Hoya can do whatever they want. Oh, if Eddie Hearn wants to put the fight on fucking the moon, he can do it. They can't stop him. Okay. What do you mean they can't stop him? They're putting up the fucking money, you fucking nimrods. Okay? The promoter is nothing. The promoter is nothing without a broadcaster. If a promoter doesn't have a deal with the broadcaster, then he can't fucking put his fights on pay-per-view or on television, or he can't broadcast his fights to the public. Okay? So that's just how it works, guys. So Canelo is not going to be able to fight, you know, Joe Blow 16 times in this fucking contract. Okay? So DAZN has some say in this. DAZN has some say in who all the fighters they have under contract fight, not just Canelo. And they have a say in you know, what they're going to broadcast and what they're not going to broadcast. Okay? So I'm sure that, you know, situation with Anthony Joshua and Eddie Hearn, not to change the subject, Eddie Hearn can shop that fight around if he's not happy with the zone putting their foot down, making that fight have to be in the United States or whatever. If he has a problem with that, he can shop it around. But I'll tell you what, admittedly, Sky has come out and said, we can't compete with the zone when it comes to money. And Canelo's locked in now. He's locked in. He can't shop himself around. All right? And from what I heard that Kovalev has received a second offer. Whether or not that's all Golden Boy money or some of that's his own money, I heard that I've read online that they've upped the offer. So to be quite honest with you, the reason why the IBF is going to strip Canelo is because he said that he wants to move up. He said even if he fights Golovkin, he wants that fight to be at above 160. The only fight that could be at 160 would be the Andre fight. So that's why I agree with you, the IBF wouldn't strip him. But the IBF's going to strip Canelo because he wants to move up in weight. He wants to move up in weight. He wants to go up to super middleweight, or he'll go all the way up to light heavyweight, and he'll probably drop right back down to 168 and take on Callum Smith next after the Kovalev fight. So I have a feeling, to be perfectly honest with you, even though that fight with Anthony Yard is close, but again, they've already worked out a deal where Yard would agree to take step aside money. You know, they already worked out that deal. That's already been put out there.
Yeah.
So I'll be honest with you, I have a feeling Kovalev's gonna get the call. I have a feeling Kovalev's gonna get the call, and I'm so glad that they told that they said, you know, you're not fucking fighting Munguia. I'm so fucking happy they did that.
You mean the second coming of Chavez Sr.?
Yeah, and I know. And no disrespect to Munguia. I mean, I'm not saying the guy doesn't deserve a payday, whatever, but he's going to get hurt in that fight. That fight's just not competitive. You can't compare that fight to what a Kovalev or a Golovkin or an Andre fight would be. You're not going to tell me that would be even remotely as competitive as those other matchups. It just wouldn't. So that's the thing, man. That's the thing. You know, again, DAZN has a lot of fucking money. They put up a lot of money for these fighters. to sit there and to think that they put up all that money to be dictated to, you're fucking high if you believe that. All you fucking weirdos out there who believe that. Oh, Canelo can fight whoever he wants. Fuck the zone. Oh, Eddie Hearn can do whatever he wants. Fuck the zone. No. Fuck them. That's what's going to happen. Fuck them.
You know, when you get paid $365 million and you're the highest paid sports personality, period, highest paid sports guy, you think that you're going to be able to call your own shots after that? No. You know, you hear it said all the time with, like, basketball players like Michael Jordan, LeBron James, that they're in Tiger Woods, that it's a business now. Even though they're one person, it now becomes a business. They're their own brand now. Canelo is the same way now. Triple G is the same way now. By signing these type of big contracts, that's what you're getting now. You know, and so, like you said, and Joe, you hit it perfectly on the head, man. You're not going to dictate to the – you'll be able to dictate to a point. We'll give you a couple fighters you can choose from. But it's kind of like HBO. They're not going to, you know, Showtime is going to be the same way. They're not going to let you fight just anybody and get you out there. Jason in the chat had a Dale from Chi-Town. Thank you so much. He said, thank you for the extra shows and good DAZN stepped in. I agree 100%. Jason in the chat was alluding to Canelo's knees, which we know has been a big factor.
Good point.
It's a great point. Is this why he's moving up in weight? I believe it probably is.
Can I just
before say, he was? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean to interrupt.
Can I
just say one thing? And I was thinking about this today. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think Canelo or Golovkin make 160 easily anymore. I really don't.
No.
I think both of them are growing out of the division. To be perfectly honest with you. And I know they're not the tallest guys in the world, but they're having a hard time. They have some degree of mass to them. You know what I mean? They're stocky guys. They're thick guys. I don't think either one of them wants to fight at 160 anymore, to be perfectly honest with you. So that's why you're having all these potential matchups above 160, in my opinion.
Well, I think in Canelo's case, it wasn't too long ago where he was fighting 160. He was fighting to get, you know, he didn't, you know, he was 160, but he was fighting those catch weights and everything like that below 160. You know, and you know this, well, I don't know if you know this, Joe, but I know that the older you get, the tougher it is to lose weight. You know what I mean?
Of course
it
is.
The tougher it is to drop that weight.
Of course it is.
You know, but the thing is, when you got a bad wheel and you can't go out there running, he's going to substitute his for swimming and biking. That's what I understood. His cardio is going to be during training, like a lot of swimming, a lot of biking, maybe some jogging, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But no, like real hard running because he's got those knee issues.
Yeah.
That makes it even more difficult to drop those extra pounds.
Yeah.
And, you know, let me tell you, you know, when you look at Canelo walking around, there's really not much to drop. You know,
he's a very muscular guy.
And the same with Triple G. If you look at Triple G, you know, when he gets on the scale at 160, he looks dry. A lot of times he looks very dry. He doesn't look good. He looks sick. You know?
Yeah,
a lot of people do.
He can't make 160 anymore.
Right. And because he's getting older. You know? And even though Canelo is aging a bit, I think the cardio has more to do with the fact that he can't drop weight due to his knee than anything else. And I think that's why he's moving up in weight.
But you know, it's a great machine to burn fat on, to burn calories on.
What's
that? That elliptical. That elliptical. I can get a good. See, the problem with swimming is you can't really get a sweat. Swimming's good for your endurance, but it's not good for losing weight. You know, because your body actually fucking like your skin gets thicker because it's adapting to the temperature of the water and it's It's not. It's a great. I'll tell you one thing. It's probably the greatest exercise out of all of them for building up your lungs.
It has to be, right?
Without question.
I would say that or running.
I would put that above running.
Well, because you're using all your muscles.
Yeah, it's harder.
Yeah, you're using everything.
Yeah. I hate running because it's just so bad on your joints. I think running sucks. I hate running.
Yeah.
I used to love it when I could do it.
Yeah.
Now I can't. Now I can still do it, but my knees are so bad that I would that I'd fuck my knees up even more if I did it. So I don't do it. They told me just don't run. So I walk and I do elliptical and stuff, and I can do the bike, whatever. But the thing is this, I just think that you don't take clenbuterol if you're having an easy time making weight. I think that was the you know, again, say what you want. I can't prove anything, but I'm not a dummy. I'm not a dummy. I may be a little stupid, but I'm not a dummy.
He took it. I mean, listen, he took it. That's the bottom line.
He took that because he was having problems making weight.
Sure.
That's why. Help him. That stuff is so good at just, you just drop fucking weight. It's so good at fucking, that is such a strong compound. It really is. That fucking speeds your metabolism or something crazy. So that's why he took it. So right then and there, I knew like the guy was that was the telltale sign that he was having problems making weight. You know? But they weren't running though too, you're right. You are right about one thing. Running, you could burn a lot of calories running. Because the thing about it is you run a long distance. But when you speed up your pace, you can burn a lot of calories in a shorter period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you run for a half hour, guy like that running at a decent pace for a half hour can burn easily 700 calories. Now, when I showed you that walk I did last week, I walked 7 miles. It took me 2.5 hours to do it, a little bit over 7 miles.
Right.
And the phone said that I burned about 846 calories.
Right.
But in order for me to burn 846 calories, right, it took me 2.5 hours to do that. Now, you cut that in half if it was running, and you burn that same amount of calories off in less time. So the thing
wouldn't you also burn more on a 7 mile run? On a 7 mile run, you're going to burn a lot more than what you're going to burn on a 7 mile walk.
Yes. But what I'm saying is but you're going to do it in less time.
Sure. Oh, for sure.
Much less time. So that's the beautiful thing about running is you can burn a lot of calories in a shorter period of time, but it does fuck your joints up.
All right. So you're pretty much our resident, a fitness guy. Okay. So let me ask you this. If he just does, let's just hypothetically, I don't know, because I think, you know, running has been a staple of, you know, combat sports for a long time. Now, in MMA, they're doing different stuff, but running in boxing especially, you know, you jog 6 miles or whatever.
Yeah.
If you just took it and just did swimming, all right, and replaced the running with the swimming, does it translate? Would it translate?
It's it's better for your car. It's better for your cardio. It's better for your lungs.
Does it translate to ring work?
Yes.
Like running would. Okay.
Yeah, I think swimming. I hate swimming because I suck at it. But when I was trying, when I did it, that was the toughest thing. My lungs were fucking inflamed when I got out of the pool. It was like. It makes your friggin' your lungs, your the lung capacity of being able to utilize oxygen so strong compared to running.
Yeah.
Because you have to think about it. You're not only pulling your own weight, you're going against the force of the water, the resistance. There's 10 times more resistance in a pool than there is just running.
For sure. Yeah.
So, but the problem is like you just don't burn the same calories. You just don't.
Same.
That's the thing.
Let's see here. JC said that Brazzers burns a lot of calories as well. That's wrong with you guys. I don't know why they made me laugh. Such a kid. All right, let's go to the phones here. 312, I believe this is Fight Doctor.
What's your name, man?
My name is the Doctor. I say that my name is the Doctor.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Fight Doctor is in the house. 312. Fight Doctor is in the house.
All right.
Fight Doctor is in the house on Rick James status as always. What's going on, gentlemen?
Nice. What's happening, man?
So, I understand that Alvarez is going to fight Kovalev. And I know there's got to be some catchweight business going on. There's got to be some advantage that guarantees him a victory. And as I understand, it's supposed to be 172 with a some type of rehydration clause. So I like Alvarez in that fight. I like him a lot in that fight because I think, you know, Kovalev certainly isn't what he was. And, you know, you drain him down and you don't let him rehydrate properly, he'll be probably a walking dead man. You know, he's already, what, 35, 36, killing his career, been knocked out a couple of times. So, yeah, I like Alvarez a lot in that fight. But I tell you what,
do you think?
Listen, who, so, no, go ahead. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, do you think, hey, both of you guys, Beeb and Fight Doctor, do you think there'll be a catchweight on this fight? Because it's going to be, I would assume,
you know,
it would be for the 175 strap, right?
The only reason why they may not be is because they could think that Kovalev is, you know, on the slide. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't put it past him if there was, but there may not be because of, but I you know what? I bet you I feel pretty confident there'll be a rehydration clause though. But
yeah, I think so.
I would be very surprised if there isn't some shenanigans going on with the weight. You know,
oh yeah.
Listen, if this fight were at the full light heavyweight limit with no rehydration clauses, then I would probably pick Kovalev to win. Because I mean, look, he looked good in his last fight. I mean, he's still shaky. That chin business, you know, you hit him on his chin real good, or if you really work his body, you know, he's probably going to fold like a deck of cards. But that's against light heavyweights. And Alvarez is not a light heavyweight. He's not even – honestly, he's not even a puncher for a middleweight. So, we've just never seen him against a guy as big and as strong as Kovalev at 175 with no rehydration clause. We just haven't seen that. So I think the smart money would be on Kovalev under those conditions. However, I don't think De La Hoya, having been under the tutelage and protection of Bob Arum for all those years, would be dumb enough. I wouldn't be dumb enough to put Alvarez. Listen, who else does Golden Boy have? Okay, let's think this out logically. Who else do they have? Alvarez is the goose that lays the golden eggs. And once that goose stops laying the golden eggs, there will be no more Golden Boy. No one will care. So De La Hoya is certainly going to be taking a page out of Bob Arum's book, and the protectionism will be in place for this fight. So, yeah, I'm thinking there's going to be a catch weight. There's going to be some type of rehydration clause. It's probably going to be a huge ring. It's going to be all kinds of machinations going on to guarantee that Kovalev would have to knock him out twice just to get a draw. So, I just don't see this fight happening at the full light heavyweight limit with no hydration clause. It's just not going to happen. No, I don't see it. And under those circumstances, I like Alvarez a whole lot. 172 catchweight or whatever the catchweight is going to be, and whatever the rehydration clause stipulates. Now, having said that, who is the leading contender in the IBF? Because I'm thinking that guy is a Al Haymon guy. And
Derevchenko.
And if the Alvarez-Kovalev fight happens, then that sort of leaves Golovkin out in the, you know, dangling in the wind. I don't think he's going to fight the IBF leading contender for the belt. So we could potentially look at
why not
a situation where But why?
I'll tell you why.
I mean, he's ducked him. Yeah, he's ducked him already.
I can tell you why.
Mandatory, yeah. Why?
I can tell you why. Because, in my opinion, I wouldn't be surprised if Golovkin fought Munguia next. And I'll tell you why. Because they realize, I think everyone knows Golovkin's kind of on the downside.
Sure.
So they still are going to hope and pray that they can make that Canelo fight at some point. That's the holy grail for them. That's the big money fight for them. So if you're going to put Golovkin in with someone like Andre or even someone like Derevchenko, right, it's a good chance he could lose either one of those fights. And then what happens? The Canelo fight's gone. So I think the zone will be a little bit more lenient with Golovkin because they realize that, you know, he's probably not the same guy he was 2 years ago. But he still has the name that they can make a big fight with him with Canelo. So why jeopardize that, in my opinion?
But don't you think, though, the fight would be bigger if he had a title?
No, don't think it matters. I don't think it matters
at this
all.
Point, yeah, it doesn't matter. Listen, we've already seen Alvarez basically abandon the WBC. The same is about to happen to the IBF. At this point in his career, it's really not about titles. It's about, listen, if
no,
you are Canelo Alvarez and you're guaranteed $32 million per fight, why do you need the WBC, WBA, IBF? Really? I mean, you're guaranteed
save
a certain
money,
amount of money for your next 10 fights, your next
yeah.
9 fights, or however many fights he has left on his
yeah.
contract. Why do you need a title? Honestly.
Save money.
You don't.
Save money by not having the belts.
Right. Listen,
you know?
You can make the argument that he's better off without those titles because now I
yeah.
don't have to pay the 1, 2, 3% sanctioning fee. So at this
yeah.
point, it's not about belts. Not for Alvarez. Now, maybe for Golovkin. Or in fact, you know what? I think you could probably make the same argument in this case. He's got the $100 million or however much contract it is with the zone. Why do I need belts?
Yeah.
Okay? I'm guaranteed
yeah.
a certain amount of money regardless. So, you know, listen, I don't need the IBF. Why do I want to fight this tough contender, okay, in a fight that I might lose? You guys just got done discussing how this guy is having a problem making 160, okay? Why fight the guy when I can fight a cherry pick, when I can do my normal business and fight, you know, line up another tomato can to fight and wait for the Alvarez Kovalev winner, okay? Listen, think of it.
Yeah.
If Canelo wins, the Golovkin rubber match is huge. If Kovalev wins by some miracle, okay, and Golovkin could potentially get Kovalev in the ring, that fight is huge. Or
yeah.
I could fight this guy who's an Al Haymon guy in a fight where it's 50-50, and I could potentially risk one of those two big paydays. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make
yeah.
sense. And plus, when have we seen Golovkin fight the tough fights? We've only seen Golovkin take the big challenges twice in his career, all right? The first time was Danny Jacobs, only because he had to take that fight in order to get the Alvarez fight. And the second time we saw him take the big take a big risk was in the Canelo fight, and that was because the reward outweighed the risk. But outside of that, when have you seen this guy fight someone, a worthy challenger, for little money, unless he had to? You don't, okay? You haven't. So why fight this guy? So I think we could potentially see Al Haymon with control of 2 out of the 4 major middleweight belts
yeah.
in the next,
you
know
what?
12 months. In fact, not even next 12 months, in the next few months.
And I tell you what, you know what's crazy about that is that DAZN had the middleweight division on lockdown. I mean, they had them on complete lockdown. And the WBC threw the wrench in there with that franchise
yeah.
title or whatever they tagged.
Yeah.
And Charlo became the champion
yeah.
then. And now Derevchenko, their fighter, is on there. I wouldn't be surprised if DAZN wanted the Derevchenko fight, the
yeah.
Triple G Derevchenko fight. Obviously, they want the Canelo fight, but to keep the belts there. Would not shock me.
Let's be honest, though. Mauricio Sulaiman is is a lot closer to the Al Haymon side of the street than he is, you know, to this DAZN side of the street. Let's be honest there.
Is
so,
he though?
I believe so. Yeah.
Is he though? I mean,
yeah,
his guy,
I
his
do.
Cash cow, is on. Yeah, you know, he's a Canelo guy.
Yeah, but
Suleiman's a Canelo guy now, and he fights on DAZN.
Well, that's why he did the franchise thing, bro. That's why he did the franchise.
So now here's my question. So here's my question. I suspect the answer to this question is yes. Alvarez, as the quote-unquote franchise champion, is he still paying some type of ransom to the WBC?
No. That's what
he's got to be paying some kind of franchise champion sanctioning tribute, something.
Well,
I mean, or else why would they make him the franchise champion?
That's the thing, though. They freed up the WBC title, and who'd they give it to? They gave it to Charlo, right? Why? You know what I mean? It's a fucking favor to the freaking PBC. You know, if you beat Canelo now, you're not the middleweight champion. You get a diamond belt.
Well,
so
you're not the WBC middleweight champion.
No, you get a diamond title. You get the diamond belt. So I'm not. To be honest with you, I can't answer that question, but I don't know if he's paying a sanctioning fee, but I wouldn't be surprised if he wasn't. I really
yeah,
wouldn't.
I suspect that there's some type of, you know, sanctioning something.
There's gotta
maybe
be
they
a
don't
fee.
Call it a sanctioning fee, but there's some type
gotta
of
be a fee.
Franchise champion ransom
right.
that he pays to the WBC in lieu of sanctioning fees.
But did they create a belt for that franchise champion? Is there a special belt?
I think there is, yeah.
I think there is. Okay.
I'm pretty sure there is anyway.
Okay.
And I think with that franchise tag, even though a title is really not on the line, with that franchise tag, that gives them the opportunity too because he doesn't have a title. All right? That's 10 rounds. You can't just make a 12-round fight anywhere. I mean, it has to be, you know, that gives them the option to make those 12-round fights.
You know what's funny too, when Charlo talks about the whole thing, he doesn't say anything bad about Canelo either. He's like, because he knows that WBC did him a favor, so if he starts talking shit, then they're gonna be treating him like they're treating Dillian White right now. Be fucking.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's
like,
what
they just.
That's what
think,
makes me
think about
and,
it.
And see, that's what. And see, that's what makes me think that the WBC is still in Alvarez's pocket because. There hasn't been any bad-mouthing from the WBC. There hasn't been any bad-mouthing from Charlo. I mean, think about this logically. If you're Charlo, I mean, let's rewind the clock a little bit and go back to when the WBC stripped Alvarez the first time, because this is the second time they stripped him. But when they stripped him the first time and handed his belt to Golovkin went on a rampage against Alvarez and basically talked about everybody, talked about his mama, questioned his manhood, everything. All right. Fast forward to today, you haven't heard any of that. It's the same situation. WBC strips Alvarez, hands their belt on the silver platter to Charlo, and you heard nothing out of Charlo's camp negative about Alvarez.
No.
That doesn't make any sense. If this is a guy that you supposed to want to fight, okay, and this guy has essentially just dumped you.
I was going to say, he just got a world title dumped on his lap. He should be the happiest motherfucker on the planet.
Wait a minute. Yeah, okay, so he got a meaningless trinket. I mean, WBC title means less than nothing. It's a trinket, okay? It's green.
You're right.
And gold.
Now it does.
Okay?
Now
and it's
now
worth
right
nothing.
Because of what they did. Yeah. You
okay, because
at the
end. But at the end of the day, Alvarez is still the champion at middleweight until he's beat, moves up, or retires. Okay?
You're right.
He's
you're
still
right,
the champion. So
I agree with you.
Listen,
with you.
The only thing that Charlo has accomplished by being made the WBC champion is that now he has to pay sanctioning fees or more sanctioning fees. Okay? That's the only thing that's been accomplished.
Yeah. Because
that belt, that title is for paper. It means nothing, all right? So I just don't understand why this guy isn't calling out Alvarez, why he hasn't challenged his manhood, why he hasn't talked about you know, why he hasn't talked about him like a dog. I just don't. I don't understand what the hell. It just doesn't seem any sense. Why has the guy essentially ducked you, and you're not calling him out on it? It just I failed to comprehend the logic in Charlo's actions. I don't get it. Okay, because like when you had the same situation a couple of years ago with Golovkin, his camp, they were dogging the dog shit out of Alvarez.
Yeah, but the thing is this, Fight Doctor. You don't think Charlo's getting paid more now that he's a champion too, though? His profile goes up. I mean, whether or not the way he became it, and now he's a friend, you know, we got that whole franchise situation. And I agree, Canelo's still probably going to be looked upon as the real champion. But, I mean, this guy has his belt now. Now this is a marketing tool he could use to make himself more popular. You know, when people see Charlo fight, he's called a world champion now. Like, it's a good way to increase the guy's profile, and he's probably getting paid more now. Whether, you know, that's
okay. I'm not going to deny that him being a quote unquote world champion makes him more marketable, probably marginally more marketable. But honestly, look, how many fights? Look, what type of viewership did he do in his last fight against that 154 pound guy? I mean, honestly, did anybody really care? All right.
Yeah,
fast forward to Charlo's next fight, whoever that's going to be. If it's not one of the top guys at middleweight, which it probably won't be, will anyone care? If it's not Golovkin, if it's not Danny Jacobs, if it's not Andrade, if it's not Alvarez, if it's not one of those guys, will anyone really care?
No.
I can answer that question with a resounding hell to the NO. Nobody's going to give a shit
about
anyone this guy fights, except he fights one of the guys on the zone side of the street. So who cares if he's a WBC paper champ now? Who cares? Honestly, do I think it's going to affect his bottom line? Marginally, at best. But are we talking about a major bump up in pay? No. Honestly, to be completely honest with you, I think however much more the higher sanctioning fees he has to pay now. Okay? Honestly, who cares?
Yeah.
I don't understand it. Charlo's, who's, the Charlo situation really is one of the few times where I'm almost speechless. Like, what the hell are they over there doing? Really?
Yeah.
What the hell are they doing?
That's funny.
Okay, what the hell are, I mean, you're the WBC champion. So fucking what? At the end of the day, what does it mean? Nothing if you don't get the big fights. Okay? I mean, so what? His next fight, he can manage the whatever tomato can the WBC had.
Corey, I don't know. I'm sorry. Fight Doctor, I don't know if you can hear this or not, but you're breaking up. I'm used to Corey breaking up. Fight Doctor, you're breaking up, and we're actually going to go ahead and move on here because it looks like you dropped, it looks like. Not dropped, but I just can't – he's just kind of garbled or whatever. So, all right.
Bad phone connection. Sorry, Fight Doctor.
Yeah. It was a good call, though. He made a lot of good points.
Good points.
You know, his point, he says, well, what does it matter if he has a belt? It matters a lot. If Charlo has a belt, you know, what does it matter? You can't get the big fights. Well, number one, that's how you get the big fights, with the belt.
Yeah.
Bottom line, everybody wants what? The belt, money.
That's what
it comes with the belt.
That's what Hopkins said. He said, you know, I had to get all the belts because then all the roads lead to me. So when you become a champion, you're a marked man. Not everyone wants to fight you. It's not hard. It becomes easier to get fights when you're the champion.
Yeah. Corey Lee Boxing, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. And he said he has Canelo winning by a decision over Kovalev. So there you go. But yeah, if you have belts, if you have a belt, listen, man, I don't care who you are. Who was the guy? His name just escapes me. Who's the guy that fought Terrence Crawford to unify those belts at 140? You remember who he was?
Ndongo.
Julie Sandongo. Okay.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Julie Sandongo had what? Two of the three, or you know, the belts
two,
or whatever.
Yeah, two of the four. Yeah.
Yeah, two of the four belts.
Yeah.
That I guarantee that was his biggest payday ever.
Of course.
Guaranteed. And if he didn't have those belts, he wouldn't even been considered for that fight.
Yeah.
So listen, man, it matters, man.
Yeah, some fighters need belts. Charlo needs a belt.
Sure. Well, yeah, he does. You know,
he needs a belt.
Low risk, you know, it's going to be, you know, where it's high risk, low reward.
Why would you fight that guy if he didn't have a title?
Why?
There would be no upside.
It makes no sense.
With all due respect, again, he's not a huge. I hate to say it because he's such a good fighter, and I like Jamal Charlo too. He's a good, seems like a good person, but he just doesn't. He's just not a big draw, you know.
No, and like I said, I mean, and you know, listen, man, it's a big, strong guy you're going up there against.
Yeah, he's got a lot of
punching power. He's dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, could you beat him? Maybe, but will you beat him? I don't know. But why would I fight him?
He's
if
tough.
He doesn't have anything I want.
He's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jolo said bigger belts equal bigger paydays. That's the way it is. That's the way it is.
It's like getting a promotion at work. You get more money. You don't. You're not going to get the same.
Right.
But unless you're getting fucked.
Which is entirely possible too. You know.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this. So Beeb just sent me a text a couple hours ago. And it's making the rounds on social media. This was put out by DAZN on social media here. And it says, what if? And it's a picture of, it says, Golden Boy versus Matchroom card. Dream Golden Boy Matchroom card. Canelo versus Andrade. Danny Roman versus Ray Vargas. Tevin Farmer versus Jojo Diaz. Jaime Munguia versus Jesse Vargas. Devin Haney versus Ryan Garcia. I mean, that's a dream card. I mean, that's a really big dream card. But I thought it was interesting that DAZN put this out. That DAZN said, what if? That DAZN put this out on both of those guys. Almost to say, you need to pick it up. You know what I mean? That's kind of what I got from that.
Exactly.
And
I
think with this whole Canelo situation and everything like that, that's kind of what I got. It's kind of like a shot to both guys saying, hey, you guys need to pick up the pace a little bit. We want to see these type of fights. Beeb, what are your thoughts?
I agree wholeheartedly with you. I think that's what it is. It's like, you know, we need some competitive matchups. We want some bang for our buck. And the fans want some bang for their buck, too. Because you got to give people an incentive to subscribe to us. And they're not going to keep subscribing to us if they see you in there blowing people out. And you're not, and it's entertaining competitive fights that people can get excited for. Very important.
If you're taking people out in a Tyson way, that's a different animal than just squashing people. You know what I mean? When you're squashing people in 90 seconds, you create something. But just squashing, you know, going in there and squashing Jaime Munguia, that's not going to do it, man. That's not going to get it done. Sean Newton Boxing in the chat says Kovalev's a bigger name than Charlo, and the fact that he's at 175 makes it even bigger. I agree. Everybody knows,
that's
Kovalev
true.
Is just a bigger name.
Yeah,
he is.
He's bigger.
He's on the slide. I believe he's on the slide.
He's been a champion longer.
Yeah.
Been in the game longer.
More credible. I think he's more credible of a fighter. I really do. I think he's more credible in the sense that, you know, Charlo was given a title. And that's not a bad thing. Listen, I mean, people will say Charlo was given a title. That's really not accurate. Charlo earned that title. I don't care what anybody says. He earned the title. He never got the shot to face Canelo for it. Charlo earned that title.
Yeah.
So a lot of people say he was given the title. That's false, man. He earned the title. You have to give him his respect. He definitely earned that title. So that's just, I mean, that's my take on it. But, Fight Doctor brought up an interesting point with that weight. So I believe, and I think you probably do too, that there will be a rehydration clause. But
I think they cannot put
a catch weight on this fight or it will not be for a title.
Well, they could still do that if they wanted to, I mean.
Could they?
Yeah.
And make it a true middleweight, or not middleweight, but light heavyweight, I'm sorry.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I guess they've done it in the past. But, I mean, I don't think they'd go for that, do you?
I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think they're going to do it because
I don't think. Oh yeah, I don't think Kovalev would agree to it either. No.
No.
Not at his age. Is that the question you asked me?
Yeah. You know what?
Yeah.
I mean, the funny part about this whole thing is now, Kovalev's really in the driver's seat now. He could demand some money.
Well, they came back with another offer, so that means they really want that. That means they want the fight.
Yeah, they don't want to fight Triple G. And you know what? I don't, like I said, man, I'm not.
I don't hate that Kovalev fight at all.
I don't hate it either. I think that's. I'd much rather see that.
You know what? I'm going to have to agree with you on that one. That's more intriguing right now.
It is. It really is. I mean, because, again, you have. You know, I mean, this guy's going up two weight classes.
Yeah.
Last time I remember that being done was Kell Brook in Triple G.
Yeah.
You saw what happened there. I mean, it was a wash. I mean, Kell Brook did it for a little bit, but
Khan did it with Canelo too.
That's right, Khan did.
My boy.
So the IBF says Sergey Derevchenko versus Triple G would be next if. You know, if Triple G takes it, or if he doesn't want to fight, Canelo's not going to fight Derevchenko, so that belt's gone. So if Triple G fights somebody else and he doesn't want to fight Derevchenko, the number four, the guy I got at number four in the IBF is somebody named Camille Zaramenta. Listen, the guy's rated number four. I'm sure he's a world class fighter. I've never heard of him. Never heard of him. Now, number five is Danny Jacobs, and then number six is Patrick Wojcicki. I don't know. Then Esquiva Falco, Jack Colquay, number eight, Stephen Butler, number nine. So if they don't take that, you know, that Golovkin fight, if that Golovkin fight doesn't materialize, man, that's not a whole lot. I mean, because they'll go in order. You know, the IBF is going to go in order on who is, you know, who's who and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
I don't know, man. All right, let's go to area code 901. 901, you're live.
Hey, yo, what's going on? It's your boy H Money, Mr. DAZN. Shout out to the Ringside Reporter. I am the 2019 Rookie of the Year. And I want to say, what was the last fight? What was the last fight that had a million pay-per-view buys? That was Canelo versus Triple G. Both of those fights did over 1 million pay-per-view buys. That was the last pay-per-view to do it. We had plenty of pay-per-views this year with Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence versus Mikey Garcia, but none of these fights combined did what Canelo versus Triple G did. So we definitely need a trilogy. There were controversy. The first fight, Canelo got popped for steroids, and everybody thought Triple G still won that fight. So let's talk about the second fight. Canelo comes back. He's clean. So he won the fight, but it's still controversy. People still felt Triple G won the fight. So this fight is the reason why DAZN went and signed Triple G.
He got popped, wasn't it? Wasn't it in the second fight?
No, it was the first fight.
And they delayed it?
The first fight. Well, I'm saying that, this fight is the reason why DAZN went and got Triple G and signed him. The top free agent of 2019, they went and signed him to make this big fight. And Eddie Hearn is he's putting plenty of pressure on Oscar De La Hoya. Oscar De La Hoya is not a great promoter. Well, he is a great promoter. He is a great promoter, but he's not on the level of an Eddie Hearn. Eddie Hearn, he knows everything about each fighter. Eddie Hearn just signed a pound-for-pound fighter, Juan Francisco Estrada. This guy is already on the pound-for-pound list. Eddie Hearn is getting his Mexican fan base up. Eddie Hearn is doing a spectacular job. And B,
you know,
like
Eddie
I said,
promote
this is the
G,
reason
right?
why. He was in the
Eddie
meeting
Hearn.
When they signed Triple G, Eric. He was in that meeting.
Right, but he doesn't
Eddie
promote
Hearn
it.
Is a partner of
he
the
doesn't
zone.
Promote it.
No,
right,
yeah,
well,
I didn't say that. I didn't say he do. But he has a partnership with DAZN.
What about the pressure
on?
Let me ask you this.
Eddie Hearn
has
a part. Eddie Hearn has a piece of DAZN.
Make the Ruiz fight.
Eddie Hearn has a piece of DAZN, Eric.
Yeah.
He's a partner with his own.
Right. So
yeah, so that's why he's putting pressure on him. The Andy Ruiz fight is going to – it's already signed. It's already signed, Eric. The fight
is
already signed. It had a rematch clause. Okay, so –
that's great. Where is it?
That fight is going to happen – this is what Eddie Hearn said. That fight is going to happen before – Canelo fights Triple G again. So, I mean, Eric, I mean, you can't say anything bad about Eddie Hearn because
he's not fighting Triple G again.
You can't say anything bad about Eddie Hearn because he's making fighters stars like Demetrius Andrade. Wait, I'm just saying, I've been calling this show. Well, why? How could you? When he's paying fighters the most money.
I'm going to tell you this, because he can't even put that rematch together. He's got a rematch clause. He can't even put that rematch together yet. That
rematch is
going to
happen.
Delivered. Maybe.
It's already going to happen. He exercised the clause in 2 weeks, after 2 weeks of the defeat. Did you forget about that? They exercised the clause right away.
You've been around for a long time. Just because you have a rematch clause, does that ironclad mean that you're going to get a rematch?
You still got to negotiate the fight.
Right.
Still got to negotiate the fight.
Yes,
my guess.
It's
my
already
guess,
signed. The fight is going to happen.
Ruiz is holding out for more money. That's my guess.
Ruiz is holding out for more cash. Bro.
Yeah.
That's why
he can hold out all he wants.
Agreed.
But DAZN got him for the next fight. DAZN got him for the next fight. He can hold out all you want, big guy, but you got to come back to DAZN. DAZN owns you for this next fight. You're not going anywhere. Yeah, he's not going anywhere. I know my sources. I got my sources.
Your sources also said it was the first fight. It is actually when he was busted was the second fight.
I want to tell you guys that I did tell you that Devin Haney was signing with DAZN before it even happened. I mean, did you forget about that, Eric? I'm just saying, I am an insider on this boxing. And
it wasn't like you were the only
but I came
that
to the show and said it first. Yeah, but you were saying Eddie Hearn wasn't going to get it done, and he got the job done.
Get him, H.
What's that?
Get him, H. Yeah. Hey, B, you know I know my boxing, but I want to tell you guys the next fight for Triple G, I'm going to say it first. I'm going to announce it right here. The next fight is going to be Triple G versus the Mexican sensation, Jaime Munguia, undefeated world champion at 22 years old.
Julio Cesar Chavez.
Tell him, H.
Let me ask you a
undefeated
question. If
world
Munguia
champion
is too,
at 22,
so
undefeated
good,
Mexican.
If
yeah,
Munguia
he
is
so good.
Good.
That's why he's.
Then why don't they have him on the short list for Canelo? If he's so scary good.
He was on the
matchup.
Short list. He still is.
No, he
and
was
guess
not.
What? That's, he's so good.
No, he was
that's
not.
Why he's fighting the
Kovalev
best at 22. And you guys keep saying he's not ready. But he's fighting the best at 22. Give me another fighter. Give me another fighter, Eric. Give me another champion at 22 years old fighting the best.
Wow,
you give me one.
Your
boy Gervonta Davis. Your boy Gervonta Davis. He's been ducking Lomachenko for years. Gervonta Davis ducked Lomachenko. He ducked him. Jaime Munguia is fighting the best. You give him respect. He's fighting the best, man. I love this show. I just want to say, I love this show. I love this show. Thank
you. Hey, let me ask you a question. H Money, real quick. Are those your dogs?
I'm listening.
On YouTube, are those your dogs?
Yeah. Yeah, those are my dogs, man. I love my dogs, man.
Those
thank God for them
dogs,
man.
Have you seen those?
Yeah.
You don't know how H Money rolls.
Got the cocaine corsos. Hey,
rolls,
Eric, I'm a breeder. I'm a dog breeder. I got cane corsos, Great Danes. We got American Bullies. Man, I got some good dogs,
papers.
Man. You know, thank God, you know.
Papers.
Hey,
H-Money
yes, sir. UKC.
You kidding me?
UKC paperwork, and we got ABKC. Man, we got everything, man. We got the best bloodline. And man, shout out to the show, Ringside Reporter. Man, thank you, Eric. Eric, thank you for this show, too, Eric. You know, I appreciate you and B, man. You guys are an all-star team.
You,
I love
man.
The show. And, hey, Eric, man, I love being a guest on the show. Thank you, B, for giving me an opportunity. You know, I'm only a text message away. I'm ready, man. I like to bring energy, man. And Beeb knows his boxing, and Eric, you do too. And you guys gave me a shot, actually, one of the first podcast to give me a shot. So I always come back and I always come to the chat, man. And you guys just watch who you guys give that the wrench to, man. Some people just gonna start timing people out. You know what I mean? Just be careful. You know, I love this show. You know what I mean? Be careful. The wrench, man. People start timing me out for no reason, just because I like the zone, man. And I don't like that. You know what I mean?
No, I don't like it either. I told Beeb.
Yeah, just watch it.
Beeb.
Just watch the chat. Watch the chat, Beeb.
Right,
you know what I mean?
That's it. Get on.
I got you, H.
All right, thank you, sir.
I got you, H.
Shredded you, son. Yeah, if you get a chance, did you see his dogs? Did you see his dogs on YouTube?
No, I gotta go check them out, man.
I don't even care about them. You don't even care about your boy.
I love those dogs, though, man. Ever since I got bitten, though, I've been afraid to look at dogs, really.
Since you got beat up by that toy poodle?
Poodle fucking took a chunk out of my ass, man. I'm a little bit fucking scared of dogs now.
It looked like a paper cut, son. What are you talking about? Did it even break the skin? I don't even know if it broke the skin.
It did break the skin. That's why I had to get rabies shots, man. I was thinking about fucking killing. I was in trauma, man. I was going to sue for fucking mental duress.
He was trauma up.
I couldn't even do the Fury Schwartz live cast. That cost us.
I know you were in the hospital, man.
That cost us revenue. That cost us revenue right there. I'm putting that in the case.
Hey, all right. So just on a side note, man, this is nuts. Babe, you sent me this article, and I tell you what, man, it's kind of crazy. DAZN is going to make a bid. DirecTV, the Sunday Ticket that they you buy that and they show all the games, it's expiring, and DAZN's actually making a play for it. They're going to actually bid on it, so the Sunday Ticket could actually go to DAZN. Can you imagine?
That's insane.
That's huge. Anything with the NFL is huge. Now, they said in 2017 they had a deal in Canada with the NFL, and they said it was bad. He said, but it's a different network now as far as the infrastructure goes and as far as the technology goes, completely different. So
yeah.
They're making that bid for the NFL, and, man, can you imagine if they get it? That's a big deal. That's a huge deal.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, last topic before we get out of here. Billy Dibb and Amir Khan will fight on Friday, I believe at 5 p.m. Eastern time, 10 p.m. British Summer Time. I guess they call it BST. That's British Summer Time, I guess. I'm guessing. I don't know.
Okay.
But you can find it on just Google it. I'll put a link out there. There's a channel called My TV5 or something like that in England. They're going to have the fight on stream. So you go there, you register. It doesn't cost anything. Apparently it's free, so you can watch the fight there about 5 o'clock our time. I don't know how much of the fight they're going to have, like how much of the undercard, if you're going to see Sam Peter or Huey Fury or anybody like that, but you're going to see it's going to be televised. At least that's the way you can catch it. I don't know that it's going to be on DAZN or ESPN Plus or whatever. I haven't seen anything for it, which shows you where it's at. So I don't know, but that's the deal. But the interesting point about this, Billy Dibb and Amir Khan will be fighting for the WBC, the coveted Pearl Belt. Pearl Belt. Let that marinate for a minute. I mean, this is getting silly. I mean, this really is. This is like, you remember the old, like I said, the wrestling, you have the TV title, the National Heavyweight Champion, the World Heavyweight Champion. The National Tag Team Champions, Intercontinental Champion, you know, the Hardcore Champion, whatever. Yeah, it's insane. It's insane, man. Why are all these belts coming out? I mean, you know, in the UFC, that's their marketing thing, is that, like, that's why they have all these interim belts and everything. They said people like belts. Is that what this is about? I mean, is this, like, more of a marketing thing than anything else?
Yeah, marketing things, sanctioning fees, all, you know, trying to make more stars out of fighters, I guess. I guess it does help the fighters to some degree. I don't know if people really take all the belts seriously, but it always makes the guy sound better when you put a
some type of championship before his name when you announce him. So it makes people think, well, this guy must be a somebody, then he's a champion, you know? So guys like us, we see through it, but maybe some of the casual fans don't. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you kind of wonder about that. I mean, because it's, you see all these titles and everything like that, and it's just like, it just cheapens it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
But I think from a marketing standpoint, maybe it strengthens it. I don't know. You know, I don't know.
I agree.
So, all right, guys, I think that's going to wrap it up here for this Tuesday edition. Stay tuned. We'll be coming out later this week. We're going to do a live cast on Saturday for the Gorman fight, the Dubois fight.
Yeah.
And then we got Joe Joyce on that undercard. We'll do that that doubleheader over there. That's going to be pretty good. And we'll also have our Sunday show and everything like that. We'll probably have a couple of other shows this week.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit going on.
Yeah. Hey, guys, in the chat, what does TMG stand for? What does that mean? What is that? I don't know. I keep seeing it. The Money Gang? Is that what it is? Hey, speaking of the money team, did you see Floyd Mayweather?
Yeah, he got his ankles broken.
That guy apparently was like a street ball. I guess they described him as a street ball legend or something like that. He's a guy that plays out on the street or something like that, and he's got the real fancy moves and everything like that. I wonder why those guys never go pro. They look the part and they look like they're really good. I don't know, man. It's odd. But
I don't know, man. That's funny, man.
I'm not a bad.
This is so crazy. The guy isn't even boxing anymore, but it seems like everyone, the press just follows him around no matter what he does. He's like, everyone watches him.
Well, in all fairness, it was a celebrity basketball game. So there was a ton of celebrities there.
No, I understand that, but how come he was the only celebrity that was being talked about?
I guess because he got his ankles broken. I guess nobody else.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. it's just crazy how, no matter what this guy does, it makes headlines, even in retirement.
Yeah, yeah. Given quality said street ball is not real basketball, I would probably go along with that. I don't know much about
it. I agree with that. I agree with that.
You know what? And it's you kind of wonder, if you take one of those guys, a street ball team or whatever, all the best, you know, and put them against a real pro team, how it pans out, you know?
Well,
I don't know.
I think the game's different if it's a 3-on-3 half quarter, then they might have some. But if it's a 5-on-5 full court, I don't think they would do well.
Well, just you think about the Harlem Globetrotters and how good those guys are. I mean, they've got ball skills and everything like that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you watch them dribble and watch them practice and everything. But they wouldn't stand a chance against a pro team.
Well, they played against the Celtics once, and in a scrimmage, they got destroyed.
Oh, I imagine. Yeah, I mean, you can't.
Do you remember that three on three hoop it up tournament that they used to have?
No, I did that.
I did that once. 3-on-3 hoop it up. It's fucking awesome.
Is it?
Yeah, that's like street ball. Yeah, it's funny. I did that when I was 25.
Yeah.
Actually, hit a three.
I was never any good. I'm never any good at basketball. I can't shoot.
I'm not good either. But I used to like to play anyways. That's the funny thing about me. I still like to do things I'm not good at.
Yeah, given quality, I've seen that. Big Three, said Big Three is taking over now, Beeb. I've seen that. You know, with the older stars,
The
older, the retired, NBA players in there, they got, the 3-on-3 or whatever. Yeah, I've seen that. I think Ice Cube runs that or something like that.
He does.
That's a lot of fun.
The Hoop It Up tournament, it used to be sponsored by the NBA, and they would go from city to city. So what they did, they had, they'd have tournaments. You sign up. You can join, We were novice. We didn't go on you could see the guys that were experts, and they had guys that were 6'6" dunking and shit. It was fucking sick. We were in the novice class, obviously, and there's a mall in Saugus, it's called the Square One Mall, and they just opened up the whole parking lot, and they just stuck hoops in there, and they just set the whole thing up in there. They had a whole bunch of friggin' hoops. They got a whole bunch of makeshift courts, half courts, and everyone just played. It was fucking sick. It's like the World Series of basketball. You know, you had a whole bunch of freaking courts.
That's pretty cool. That's real cool.
Yeah, I used to like to run ball when I was a kid. I enjoyed it. I don't think I was good. I'm being honest. I wasn't good. I like to play chess. Not really good at chess, but I used to like to go to the park and play masters at chess. I used to see how long I could last. I mean, I don't know.
That would be really cool. I wish we had that here, because we did that in Chicago. When I went to Chicago, they had the chess players out in the on the street and stuff like that. And that was really cool.
Yeah, I enjoy playing. Like, even if I'm not great at something, like I like to bowl. I'm not great at bowling, but I like to bowl. I enjoy bowling. Miniature golf, I'm not great at that, but I like doing that. I like playing darts. I'm not great at that. I like to shoot pool, but I'm not great at that. I mean,
sure. Well, it's all fun. It's all fun to do, you know.
You know, Corey said his aunt won a woman's hooping up tournament. She played golf. Wow, that's awesome, Corey.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, if you can play in college, if you can play any sport really in college, you're up there. You're pretty good. You know.
I'm gonna show you my plaque because we actually won. I'm gonna get it. Take me 2 seconds.
Okay.
David Stern signed it.
Nice. Given quality says he loves golf but can't break 79. 79 is a definitely a respectable score in golf, man. I'll tell you that. Definitely respectable.
There it is. David Stern's signature right here.
David Stern, they hoop it up. You guys won this, so you guys won it, huh?
See?
Look at that.
3-on-3 hoop it up champion.
Nice.
Isn't that awesome?
Beebs accolades. I love it. Love it.
Guess what year that was? 1996.
96, wow. Look at that.
Time flies, man. Long time ago, man.
All right, guys. Make sure to tune in. Make sure to hit the reminder button, and that way you can catch us. Catch Beeb on Twitter at jhabib1 and catch me on Twitter at ringside73. And we'll catch you guys very, very soon.
Thank you, Corey, for the congratulations.